Hi, apologies for the delay and for the technical problems and for everything else. We'll try to make up for that now. We're on Daf Kaf Hey Omud Aleph at the bottom. Here we are, Web Yeshiva Masechet Ta'anit. You see where we are, the second wide line at the bottom. Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina. Where are we? We're all here. Cecil is here. Tzvi is here. I don't know how that happened that we all ended up in different classrooms, but we are here now. Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Gazar Ta'anita. Remember, we've seen these multiple cases of Chachamim declaring fasts for rain, and they either work or they don't work. Below Atamitra, and rain did not fall. Amrule, they said to him, Vaha Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Gazar Ta'anita Vatimitra. When Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi had previously done this, the rain did come. Meaning, sounds like what are they saying?
We know
Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. We davened with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. We learned with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. You, Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, are no Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Omar Lehu, Ha'ana, Vahar Balevai. Okay, I mean, I'm just me. I'm little old me. And he was Rabbi Yehoshua Bar Levi, ben Levi. I mean, what do you want from me? I'm not as great as he was. That's Rashi's position. Rashi says, okay, Enochinami, Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina is saying. Enochinami, he was a really great tzaddik. When he made a fast, people did tshuva and the rain came and the miracle happened. But I'm not on that same level as Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. But other people read the Gemara differently. And other people say, this is the Maharsha. The Maharsha, see, Yehudi is not with us tonight. Yehudi often objects for some reason to my quoting the Maharsha. So Yehudi, if you're listening to the recording afterwards, I hope this is acceptable to you. And if not, you can register your opposition in other ways. But the Maharsha seems to say, that no, he was saying that in the times of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, the people were greater, right? And the people that were doing tshuva and were fasting with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi were able to do it. In other words, it's not that he's really saying I'm no Yehoshua ben Levi. He's saying to the people, you are not of the generation of Yehoshua, of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So what does he suggest they do? Amr Lehu, he says, I'm not Yehoshua ben Levi. Amr Leh, so they say to him, Danete v'nechavein da'atein. Let us have kavana. Let's focus our kavana. Efshar de tavrit sibura libayhu. Maybe the people, if we have kavana, if the chachamim say to him, maybe if we have kavana, if we focus, so then the people will break their hearts. Tavre libayhu. They'll bend their hearts. They'll break their hearts. They'll repent. Da'ati mitra. And then the rain will come. Boin rachame. So they daven, the chachamim daven, velo ati mitra. And the rain did not come. Amar lehu, nicha lehu shiavo matar bishvilenu. So Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina says to them, to the Chachamim, is it enough for you that the rain should come on our merit? In other words, there's like three stages here. There's the, in all these agadot, there's one person. Either who's a great chacham. Oh, here's Yehudi's with us now. Either the one person is a miracle worker or a great rabbi or a chacham or a person who can inspire the masses. But it's here, there's no miracle work going on. Right? In other words, to say it's time to daven, it's time to do tshuva, it's time to repent, is not like Choni HaMa'agel or some of the other stories we said. It's actually a quite rationalistic position. We believe in the efficacy of prayer and tshuva, and if we engage in that, so then hopefully we'll have the desired effect. So there's the person at the top of the story, there's the chachamim, and then there's the masses. So apparently it's the masses that are not getting on board. So he says to the chachamim, would it be okay? Would you think it's enough that it'll rain in our merit, even if the masses at large are not doing tshuva and ta'anit? So Amru Lei, hey, yeah, certainly. We'll take relief in whoever merits, in whomever's merit it comes. A rising tide raises all boats. If it rains for the merit of one person, everybody's field gets wet. So Amar, so Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina says up to heaven, Rakia, Rakia, right? Shamayim, Shamayim, the firmament, the skies. Kasi Ponecha, cover yourselves. Meaning, I guess, cover yourselves with rain clouds. Lo ichase, and the rain clouds don't cover the skies. Omar, he says to them, Kama azin panei rakia. What chutzpah the heavens have. Ichase, ba'ata mitra. And after he, as it were, embarrasses the heavens, the clouds form and the rain comes. So then the Gemara tells another story. Levi, you see where we are? Levi Gazar Ta'anita. Levi declared a fast. Velo Atamitra. Again, the same exact template. Omar Lefanov, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Alita V'yashafte B'marom V'ein Atame Rachem Al Bonecha. Ooh, boy, is he really letting God have it? He says, Hashem, you're up there and you're secluded up in your heavens, and you are not showing mercy to your children down here on earth because you're withholding the rain. Atamitra, the rain came, the itla, but yet Levi was damaged. He was made lame. Levi apparently had a limp. Or he had a bad leg. So the Gemara understands that this is some kind of
Golea.
I'm sorry?
The cat in Aramaic is a tzaddi in Hebrew.
Yehudi, I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I said the cat in Aramaic is a tzaddi in Hebrew. Itla means we would say Golea.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Right, I was just trying to say how you get there.
Yeah. So, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Le'olam al yatiach adam dvarim klape mala. You shouldn't be so chutzpedik. You shouldn't throw harsh words up to heaven. Shahari adam gadol hitiach dvarim klape mala. A great man, Levi, threw harsh words up to heaven, v'itla. And he was rendered lame. Umanu Levi. So even though it worked, you know, sometimes it can be chutzpedik and it can work. I mean, anybody who's ever been a teacher or a boss or a supervisor or a parent knows that sometimes your underling, be it your employee or your student or your child, can speak to you in a chutzpedik manner. And often they achieve their immediate goal. Sometimes we give in dafka because of the chutzpah. Because we, you know, through the chutzpah of the comment, we understand exactly how important this is to the person. exactly how important it is to the person in ways that we may not have understood beforehand. And when we understand how important it is, sometimes we become a little more flexible, even as the chutzpah itself stings. And even as the chutzpah itself, demonstrated by the person in the subservient position, may affect negatively how we think about them. So here, Levi achieves his immediate goal of bringing the rain, but yet because of the manner in which he speaks to God, he was punished. But the Gemara says, Ha Gormale? Is that what caused him to go lame? Baha Levi Achave Kida Kameh de Rabbi V'itla. There's a different Gemara that tells a story. You know that years ago on a Rosh Hashanah, years ago, I gave a shir on this in the shul. It was already in the new shul. It wasn't in the caravan, but it was an early year. We don't do any of this. Our religious practice does not include any of this korim, umishtachavim, umodim. We give a little bow at the waist at different points of the davening, like when we say in Aleinu l'shabeach, or when we say in the first bracha, or in modim, the first bracha of the Shemone Esrei, and modim, we give a little bow, little bend at the knee, or a little bow. But of course, that in the times of the Mikdash, there were different postures that were accepted. Going down on your knees, falling down on your face, falling kind of spread-eagled completely on the floor of the Mikdash. And we don't do any of these things anymore outside of the Mikdash. Even though there is an interesting organization of people, whose agenda it is to promote the return to falling full korimu mishtachavim, I'm not sure that they have a lot of support behind them. But if you've seen any of the Machon HaMikdash books and Machzorim and Sidurim, they always have illustrations of what this looked like as people would fall. The only time we do this in any manner at all is, of course, on Yom Kippur and, according to some customs, on Rosh Hashanah. But if you notice on Rosh Hashanah, unless you're busy falling Korim u'mishtachavim yourself, if you ever peek around, you'll see not everybody does fall. There are different minhagim about what people do and when they do it. On Rosh Hashanah, it's done. Those that do it during Aleinu l'shabeach and the repetition of the Musaf. And on Yom Kippur, it's done also as parts of the recitation of the Musaf that describe how the congregation in the Mikdash would fall Korim u'mishtachavim u'modim v'noflim al pneihem v'omrim baruch shem kvod malchuto le'olam v'ed. It's always like a highlight of the Yom Kippur davening when everybody's doing this. But not everybody does it. Some people only bow down. They don't actually go onto the ground. Some only go onto their knees. And I gave a shir about this because, everybody knows this idea that you're not supposed to bow down on a stone floor at all. And even in shuls that have carpeting, you don't bow down even on the carpet. We always add a layer of separation. And that's why people, they pass around sometimes like paper towels or something to put down, to fall on. And now they even have, people have these fancy embroidered, cloths, like the size of a challah cover that say, Va'anachnu Korim. There's no end to the Jewish people's ability to find something to spend money on.
Well, the prayer rugs.
But, you could bring a dish towel or a napkin or whatever it is. So you'll see a lot of people when they don't know what to do. They put it under their knees, which is very handy for keeping your pants from getting dirty. But that's not the problem. The problem is not putting your knees on the floor. The problem is bringing your face down onto the floor. So in other words, the thing that you bring, the shmata or the paper towel or the fancy embroidered Vanachnu Korim cloth, is meant to be placed between your face and the floor, not between... Did I lose...
Still here. I think something happened.
Well, I can hear you guys.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
We can hear you. We just can't see
you.
Hello? At least I can't.
I hear you.
Do you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I cut out for a minute. There's something wrong with my internet tonight, I think. That's the problem. If I get cut off again, wait for me for a minute, and if I'm not back, then we'll have to assume that we're going to have to cut it short. Anyway, I was saying that the cloth or whatever it is should go between your face. So in the times of the Chazal, long after Avodas Beis HaMikdash was done, right? So Levi was demonstrating in front of Rabbi how the Kiddah was done. This is a Gemara. We learn this Gemara in Masechet Megillah. This is a Gemara in Daf Kaf Bet in Masechet Megillah. We learned this a couple of years ago, that they had to demonstrate exactly how the procedure, how the process was done. So Levi was apparently some kind of expert in these halachot of the Kiddah and the Korim and the Mishtachavim, etc. And as he was demonstrating the proper way of falling down and prostrating yourself, he pulled a muscle, or he did something, or he dislocated his hip, and that's how he became lame. So the Gemara asks a question. Wait a second. Our Gemara says he became lame as punishment for this chutzpah when it was time for the rain. But the Gemara Megillah says it had to do with the acrobatics he was performing in front of Rabbi when trying to demonstrate the Korim Mishtachavim. So the Gemara says, Hava ha gormalei. No, it's not mutually exclusive, right? In other words, the two things go together. In other words, why did he become lame? What was the cause of this punishment? It was the chutzpah with which he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When did he become lame? What was the precipitating event through which the punishment was executed? It was then when he was bowing down. This is a kind of idea about how God meets out reward and punishment in the world. Right? He doesn't just zap us as soon as we do something wrong. Very often the punishments for our misdeeds, or even the rewards for our good deeds, come about in natural ways. You know, this is similar to the idea of God minimizing miraculous intervention.
Isn't that the whole theme of the Masechet? I mean, the punishment is lack of rain, and the reward is rain, and those are very natural things. So it's like
that's. Yes, just... I think that's a very good observation.
No, it's. I don't think this is the theme in the Masechet. This is an excursion. This whole few blot we've done, starting with Choni HaMa'akeh, it was an excursion into what has to be done if the things that were already prescribed didn't work. You might call this alternative medicine, or what's the other word they use? Holistic. In other words, if the regular medications that are prescribed don't work for some reason, then people often try, you know, holistic or other stuff that really isn't proven to work, but what have you got to lose? So here we're talking about special, and over the real field is the whole community fast, what we learned in a first few brachim, you know, till the third parak. And the third parak, we suddenly get an excursion about what extraordinary things were done in order to bring the rain. But the point is, they're extraordinary. They're not the theme of the Masechet. The theme of the Masechet is rain fast by the Tzibur as a whole. And of course, ending with Avelut fast by the Tzibur as a whole.
Hello?
Yeah, I was here.
Yeah, I mean, at least.
I hope somebody heard me.
Yehudi, you were cutting in and out. I think I heard what you were saying. But I think that in this case, in other words, the punishment here, we're talking about something else. He's punished having nothing to do, meaning the event of the punishment comes about not on a day connected anything to rain. But it seems that even there, the punishment is coming, not specifically because of rain, but because of this attitude that he takes towards God. And I think, David, say again what you said.
I was just saying that the Masechet is talking about examples of a reward and punishment that happen in natural ways. Rain is not some miraculous thing. Lack of rain or existence of rain is something that's common, but it still is being viewed as a divine reward or punishment.
Okay. I don't know whether it's just me or it's everyone.
I missed the very last thing, but everything else I heard. Basically,
let's go on just a drop more.
Tanakh says that.
Heard everything.
Okay. Rabbi Chia bar Luliani, Shaminhu Lahanach Anane de Kaomre, Nete Venitve Maya Baamon Moav. There's Rabbi Chia bar Luliani. Here's the clouds talking to each other. Whatever this means, obviously, this is some kind of agadic story, but he hears the clouds talking to each other saying, let's bring water in Ammon and Moab, meaning let's rain over there and not here in Eretz Yisrael, meaning Ammon and Moab are our neighbors to the east, right? On the other side of the Jordan, but not here in Eretz Yisrael. So Amar Lefanav, so he says to those clouds, Ribono Shel, or he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Keshenatata Torah La'amcho Yisrael, Chazarta Al Kol Umot HaOlam. You know the very famous midrash of HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to sell the Torah to every nation who's not interested in anything that tells them what they can and cannot do. Velo Kibluha, they did not accept your Torah. V'achshav Atano Ten Lehem Matar. But now you're going to reward those nations and you're going to give them rain? Shaduacha, send the rain here in Eretz Yisrael. Shadua aduch tayhu. And he sends it to that place. He sends the rain to Eretz Yisrael. Now, obviously, I mean, even according to the most narrow understanding of Aman Nivchar and Am Segula and that we got the Torah, that all the other nations rejected the Torah, surely this Rabbi Chia bar Luliani couldn't mean that Ammon and Moab and Mitzrayim and all these other places, they should never get rain, they should never get water, they should die of famine and thirst. So this idea that the rain has to come here, it's even interesting that, in other words, if the clouds have been saying, imagine a parallel Agadah, which I'm going to craft right now. He overhears two clouds talking. And one cloud says, I'm going to go to Bavel and I'm going to rain right there, right between the Tigris and the Euphrates. Another cloud says, I'm going down to Mitzrayim, and I'm going to rain right on top of the Nile. Right? So what might he have said? He might have said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, you gave us the Torah, and we do mitzvot, and we're rewarded. Rain is a symbol of that reward, as we all say twice a day in Kriyat Shema. Why should these clouds schlep themselves to Bavel and to Mitzrayim, where rain is not needed since they're watered aplenty through the copious rivers? But that's not what he said. First of all, it's Ammon and Moab, which are dependent on rain, unlike parts of Bavel and Mitzrayim. I mean, Bavel and Mitzrayim are also, every place is dependent on rain, of course. Right?
But Rabbi Sachs?
But only it's a question of how directly or how indirectly they're dependent on rain. So, but that's not what the Agadah is saying. The Agadah is saying, why should Ammon and Moab be rewarded with rain when they rejected the Torah? And we who have the Torah, we who at least attempt to keep the Torah, we're not getting this rain, send it here instead. So I think that it's deepening this theme of, this is, I think, as both Yehudi and David pointed out, this is really the theme of the Masechta, right? This is the theme of the whole idea. that rain is, I've said many times, the idea that rain and the Miflasa Kinneret, the red line, this is a kind of barometer of where we stand vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our standing as Ovdei Hashem. Yes, Yehudi.
Oshkol Hebrew edition.
Yes, Yehudi.
Yeah, I'm reading. The Oshkol Hebrew edition has a note saying that what was happening was, since rain comes to Eretz Yisrael from the Mediterranean Sea and then crosses it, you know, to
Yehudi,
go.
I'm sorry, you're cut off. I can't hear what you're saying.
Okay, let's try one more time. Rain comes to Eretz Yisrael from the west. And that means that normally the rain clouds will empty some of the rain on Eretz Yisrael as they're moving eastward to Ammon and Moab. But these clouds didn't empty the rain in Eretz Yisrael. They said, let's skip over Eretz Yisrael and go straight from the Mediterranean to Ammon and Moab.
Who says this?
This is Hebrew edition.
Who said this?
The Hebrew edition of Schottenstein, of Oshkol.
Okay. Fine. Okay. Now, Reb Chaya Bar Luliani goes on to a different topic, which is not really connected to the rain, but is connected to botany, to trees. But I'm going to stop here, and hopefully we'll get my computer working properly by next week. Apologies for the technical problems.
That's okay. We'll have a chance to look into cedars and figure out what's going on here.
Right, right. I have yet to determine if what they're saying is agreed upon by the
botanists.
In the meantime, I wish you all a meaningful Tisha B'Av. Yeah. Tisha B'Av, of course, is also a Ta'anit. Which we've been talking about, but it's a Ta'anit of a different nature. For those in town, I usually give a shiur in the shul between Mincha and Mariv at the end of Tisha B'Av. So hopefully that'll happen.
It's also okay to say to have an easy fast. Because if you don't have an easy fast.
Have an easy fast.
No, you said meaningful. I'm saying
I'll tell you the truth.
Easy and meaningful. And the reason why I'm saying that is because if it isn't easy, it's going to be hard to listen to your shiur. You know, because you're fasting. You say, in other words, if you have an intention of listening to shiur on Tisha B'Av relative to the permitted topics, it's going to be very hard for you to actually get anything out of it if the fast is eating you away. So I think it's okay to say have it easy and meaningful.
I have no objection. I have no objection to that. There is an irony, of course, that the one day a year it's usher to learn Torah, except for this small subject matter. It's the one day a year probably more Torah gets learned on Tisha B'Av than any other day of the year. You know, maybe we should
recent development, year long, but it's good.
And mutter on Tisha B'Av. But that's just a joke. Okay, we'll see you next week.
Shalom uracha, yishar kochacha.
Well.